Okay, so here we are at the next part of Senses of the Soul. So far we're kind of following this symbol of the triangle with the circle with the cross inside, which is the guidance of the work. The circle with the cross inside, this is actually a sacred language symbol, which means soul. Because soul is a container, yeah? It's a container of our experiences, right? And not just our experiences, but the memory of our experiences. And when I say the memory of our life experiences forming our soul, it's obviously not like a movie. It's not like all of the life experiences. It's those experiences that have had more power, that you therefore have more energy for memory, and that you have then created meaning out of. So meaning then becomes the experience, the emotion, equals then the meaning that you make of it. So those meaningful, powerful, usually emotional experiences become what gets integrated into the soul body. And so like whenever you do past life work, typically what you're picking up on is those high emotion points in that life are easiest to connect to, because of course they have more power. Emotion is power. Yeah. So that has to collect somewhere. And if it's anything that has to collect into some sort of containment, then containers in the world of form that we live in are always made out of the matrix of the elements. You know, whether they be physical elements or energetic elements, the elements are what form the containers, because they are the matrices of the weave of light. Yeah. So in terms of that, what we've covered is that within, first of all, the senses, in looking at the senses, to just very briefly recap, we're aware of our physical senses, of our sight and hearing, etc., and we understand how we use them to collect data from our physical experience in order to make that meaning. Yeah? However, we understand that, okay, we are here, in essence, divinity having an experience, so that then that experience informs divinity, yeah, as a premise. It's not a one-way flow, it's a two-way flow. Yeah. So we understand that our physical experience flows at the soul memory and the meaning, and it informs the divine of its creation. But it also flows back the other way, and the mechanism for how it flows back through us to inform our life and guide our life in order to have more experiences so that we can get more growth for the collective is the soul is this mechanism. And so the soul also has this aspect of senses, which also guide our physical life. So it's like, so the work this year is looking at those senses of the soul in how they work through us to allow our divine aspect to have the experience we've come to. Some people call it, soul contract or soul mission. So what is this bit of soul that plays through us the other direction to guide our experience? And this is what we've been looking at this year. And so we've looked at the aspects of the center being really the divine, so the divine playing through the soul, this aspect of the fire energy of the soul being like the desire, the element of the soul desire. And we looked at that in relation to, the ego desires, the heart's desire, and the soul desire, and how they're different, they're different levels. We looked at the feminine, the water aspect, being this aspect of dream, and how that works with the soul in order to be able to manifest into bring through information into our life. We looked at the air element, which was aspect of soul memory, about how the soul collects memory, how it integrates the journey of memory, and also how the soul was of many parts. Sometimes we call it through expressing it through personalities, but we looked at the structure of the soul and how that is used to actually, to bring together not only your experiences, but how it uses that structure to knit the collective soul together. So it was to do with soul structure. If you don't remember that, you can go back and listen to that again, and recording and writing. And then we looked at the earth aspect of senses of the soul, which talked about soul exchange, which is really about the interconnectivity of everything and how that energy flows, because there is soul within all living things. Yeah, there is soul within and even in non-living things, because soul holds the matrix of information for how the energy will come into a form. Yeah, so everything has to have a memory of its form, otherwise the electrons won't all gather in that shape. Yeah, so everything has this soul memory of some level. There are just degrees of consciousness of those souls. Yeah, so at a very low level of consciousness, you can have very basic forms, a bit like the crystals and the rocks. They have a very fixed form consciousness. When I say basic, that's, you know, slight intended, simply more aspect of the fact that it is a more fixed form. You then get the second density of forms, which have movement. This is where polarity starts. So the water washes on the beach and the rocks, and it starts creating life. And then you get plants and you get animals that grow up, and they in that movement of consciousness, and that wash of movement, then you get forms that express through action and reaction. So they're very instinctive in their growth and development. Yeah, then you move up into third density consciousness, and then you've got, out of that interaction, there becomes knowing, and you get a higher view, and suddenly you have self-awareness, the ability to see yourself within the polarity, which is what humans and some animals come to, where they develop self-awareness and really the development of ego. Yeah, and we have to have this stage, because without that we can't see and know ourselves. Then we move from there further into this next level of fourth density consciousness, which we'll talk about a bit more, which is where instead of seeing ourselves as separate, we see ourselves as collective, and that moves us further on in this growth and development journey that we're all on. But we'll talk more about that, but that all comes through sense of exchange. All right, so we've done this inner circle in the journey this year. We've looked at those various aspects of this, of how does the soul work, and what these particular nuances of senses that relate to its matrix of form relate to. Around it is a triangle. So last time we explored this is called the border sense. And again, to explain this, that we can more easily grasp it when we think of our physical senses and going, okay, I'm physically experiencing my world through sight, through sound, through taste, through touch, through hearing. Yeah, I bring this into myself and I process it to make meaning out of it. Yeah, of my experience, I make meaning out of it through the mind, through the emotion, and through the feeling life or the instinctual body. Yeah, these three vectors of processing help me make meaning of the experience. In other words, they take the experience and this becomes the consciousness filter that helps me make meaning of those impressions. Get the idea of it? So three triangles are always about consciousness. Yeah, so that it brings me a consciousness filter. Of course, going the other way, the soul in its incarnation and action through us to experience this world also has a consciousness filter. So what is the consciousness filter of a soul, and why do we have one? What does it do? Well, when you consider that soul in its essence is not necessarily tied to the density of its incarnation. This is why, you know, we can say that, you know, there are higher souls that choose to incarnate on this planet and have an experience. You know, many of the avatars we would readily accept that, oh my goodness, yes, they were definitely a higher density or soul that has come to actually be here and incarnate. However, in understanding like fields of energy is that in order to be able to, if you are of a consciousness, you need to be able to vibrate or have a field of perception that allows you to actually experience the density that you've come into. Because if you were coming in as a high density soul into, say, this three-dimensional matrix, then unless you had some kind of consciousness filter, you wouldn't be able to perceive anything, because your level of perception was so high that you would not be able to perceive matter, because you were beyond matter. Yeah. So the border sense helps to govern or filter the perception of the soul so it can experience its incarnation in order to get the learning and growth and do what it's come to do in that incarnation. So it's kind of like the frame of consciousness the soul perceives through in order to make meaning of what it's come to do. So it's kind of like the same thing, but instead of it going up, this is it coming down. What we're looking at last time is the parameters of what is the border sense of the soul, and how does it help us, and how can it be useful knowing about this, because otherwise what's the point? So last time we looked at the aspect, when we're talking about consciousness, we can always, in terms of energy in consciousness, always there's kind of like masculine, feminine, and unity. Yeah, there's always the masculine and feminine polarity and the unity point, which could be the child or the unity factor. Yeah, so there's always this thing. Another way we often look at it is, you know, wisdom, power, and love, which is a similar thing. So wisdom being the feminine aspect, the what we hold, the wisdom, so the reception, what we hold within. The masculine aspect being the transmissive aspect, so the power, the action, the doing, the work into the world. And then always there's the unifying aspect, which helps to integrate and make sense of the information. Yeah. So love, wisdom, and power being a very ancient trinity that it typically describes consciousness. It could equally be described as masculine, feminine unity. It could in other frames, in the frame within Demeter, they talk about it being that wisdom is, they talk about it being memory, because again, it's just held information, what I know. That power, they talk about it as being will power, so the power to choose, the power to act, the power to do. And that love, they simply call this energy. So together, it's simply energy. And again, we could call it whatever it is. It is just simply the unity of what's formed. So same, this trinity of form is kind of like the descriptor of all consciousness. So it's like, okay, how can we bring this trinity of consciousness to describe the border senses? Last time we looked at the area of wisdom, so this feminine aspect of the soul border sense. And we spoke about how this wisdom or this memory of what the soul holds helps to guide our evolution. Yeah, because our soul knowing, because it holds more than just our experience here, but has a wide ranging knowledge and connection through many densities and dimensions, because truly, you know, our soul is connected to more bigger oversoul structures, etc., all the way of many densities. And indeed, we have aspects of soul which are of higher densities. You know, these are, sometimes we talk about this as higher self and these higher connections that we can reach to. This guidance that we can get through this held memory within our soul structure, that at times, particularly when we are in a state of more heart coherence, will bring us guidance. And sometimes that guidance is a felt guidance. It's almost like an emotional prompting that goes, yes, go this way, this feels good, this feels right. So even though the the brain goes, you know, what the, this doesn't add up. I don't know if this is the right way, but there's something in you that goes, no, yeah, go this way. Yep, this is the right way. And so we get this soul prompting. Yeah? So this is like the border sense of the soul, which helps to guide through that wisdom vector us in the direction of evolution. Yeah, we can feel if it's growing us or not. We get a feeling for it. The other thing we talked within that is it also will give us a feeling for, this is the feeling that we get in the face of truth and for what is true for us, understanding that, again, it's a vibration, it's a felt sense that is beyond your ability to mentally add up, but you can feel it when it feels right. And there are many interesting works on this. One I was mentioning last time, the guy that wrote Alice in Wonderland. What's his name again? Lewis Carroll. Yeah, because he was an Oxford Don. And he wrote, he was an atheist, but he did this amazing study on, you know, is there a God? And I had read that book, forget its name now, but anyway, in the end, he decided that yes, there was. But his description of it was because everybody, no matter their cultural upbringing or influence, has a feeling for rightness, a feeling for what grows them. They may not act on it, indeed they may act in the face of it and just ignore it, but he says everybody's got it. And he says, so something is guiding us in the direction of evolution, because we're all hardwired for this feeling of truth and rightness. Anyway, so this, I believe, is this influence of the soul sense of held memory and truth and wisdom that helps be that soul prompting that guides us with that soul wisdom. Today, what we're looking at is the next border sense, so the masculine side of this, the aspect of power. How does the soul power us or bring action into our life here? And in investigating this, one of the things I was looking at was the difference between our experience within third density and fourth density. Now, just for clarity, I'm using terms density and dimension, but they mean different things. When I'm talking about density is the amount of quotient between light and matter. So as we embody more light, we hold a sliding scale of being less dense, because we are more light than we are matter. As we continue to upgrade our light body, yeah, we are able to expand the light body and we become enlightened, because we actually fill with more light. Light is information, yeah, light codes. Every time we add more light, more information, expand our perception, grow our consciousness, then we are changing that balance between light and matter within ourselves. So therefore we are changing our density. So third density is of less light than fourth density. Fourth density just means that we have shifted the balance to be more light, still some matter. So they talk about, you know, the need for the chemical or the silicon body or the carbon-based body as opposed to the light body, and that the shifting of information of that, shifts between densities. Dimensions are the construct we come to play in, yeah? So we can be playing in a construct of third density. What does that mean? Dimensions. Third dimension is a construct that we can measure. When we think of dimensions, three dimensions, we go width, depth, height. Three dimensions. Everything we're looking at, when we look at space, we measure it with three dimensions. Yeah? This defines our experience of space. when we are within a third dimensional experience, then our governor of our reality is through space. We look at something and we see the space it takes up. That is that big. I am this big. I can move across the space from here to there. So I measure my experience through the dimensions of three. Yeah? This is third dimension. Therefore, my main navigation is through space. I see myself in this teepee. Here I am in this space. Yeah? When we navigate through third dimension, this is what they call, we navigate space-time. So we see ourselves in a space, we're occupying it for a time. For me to get to another space, it's a linear time frame of progression. I have to move from this space and I need to get to that space. So my measurement is based on the space and the time it takes me to get from one space to the next. Yeah? This then moves me into a perception of time that is cause and effect. I make a step, you know, I push this, it moves, yeah, because I am navigating the space and my ability to interact on the space, and therefore time is simply a measurement of me moving from space to space or affecting the space. Do you get the idea of the dimension? Yeah. All right. What shifts is fourth dimension. What is the extra dimension that comes into the three that we know that affects the measurement? The fourth dimension is time. When you move into fourth dimension experience of reality, it shifts from space-time to time-space because our perception changes and we start to navigate time instead of space. How does this look? We perceive ourselves in this perception, the indicators of it is one, time becomes more fluid and more changeable. That we can perceive times together, like you were. We can perceive that we are occupying this space, not so much this space, but actually what we're doing here is we're occupying this time. So in this moment, this little portion of time, this is our experience. We'll move to a different time and we'll have another experience. And so we start to navigate time instead of space as our primary perception. This allows for an increased fluidity. Experiences that you can have within this is it opens you to synchronicity and also to manifestation of a greater degree. For example, this is where when you beginning to have the perception of navigating time is you have the ability to move things in space into your timeline that previously weren't there. And you can attract in to your timeline different events that previously were not in your experience by the power of your consciousness.
As if you can manipulate what's going to happen in the future. Yep. You're actually seeing it before it's happening, and that's quite freaky.
Yes, that's correct. This can be an experience of it, absolutely. Because time suddenly becomes more fluid. Instead of being linear, time becomes a landscape. Yeah? What connects the dots on the landscape is the conscious observer. The conscious observer, by the power of their will, therefore their power to hold focus and also emotion, because the next level of consciousness is, of course, love consciousness, which means I have the not only mastery of the mind, but mastery of the emotions. So I have unified, centered my masculine and feminine self, my mind and my heart, in order to deliver a frequency or a resonant beacon of desire or intention for manifestation. And as you know, all manifestation is not just the product of imagining it, it's also the product of feeling it and bringing it into now. Yeah, we know that these are the elements of manifestation. When you start to succeed at doing this, you are beginning to navigate fourth dimensional consciousness.
The hardest part is staying present in the now.
Correct.
That's the hardest thing to do.
Yes, and having clear points of focus. Once I've heard it described by a guy that does a lot of work on sacred geometry, and he says, like, every thought is like a beautiful little tetrahedron, because this is the most basic container of form. It's like three kind of triangles with a triangle at the bottom. So it's the first form you can make out of four points of light. Yeah, that actually can contain something. It contains light. So light codes appear in tetrahedrons. Each one holds a simple form. So he said, when you are manifesting, you want to manifest a simple form, because maybe that simple form that I'm trying to manifest is I'm wanting to be able to have a way of traveling from, you know, this point to that point. That's my thought. Yeah. Then I get more complex and go, well, to have this thought, you know, I want a car. And actually, I like yellow cars. And it should have, you know, black leather seats. And of course, you know, I want it definitely to be this model. And, you know, and so he said each of these thoughts is like another shape added on to your original thought. And he said it's way easier for the nature of manifestation to respond to the purest of thoughts, which are simple and powerful. The more you start to build things on them, they get more complex and the energy of them is more dispersed, and therefore the signal gets weaker. So as much as you can, if you distill your desire down to the most pertinent thing, which in this case would have been, I need the ability to travel between this point and that point regularly. Please let me manifest it. Now, it could manifest in someone who chooses to drive you. It could manifest in, you know, all kinds of things coming to you, because that's much easier to fulfill that desire. The more prescriptive you get about the desire, the harder it is to manifest, because the energy is dispersed, the shape is more complex, so it's got to find something that matches that particular shape. Not impossible, but you can kind of get my meaning, yeah? So in this manifesting through time, in this landscape of time, then the ability to call in points, and really this is actually the power behind alchemy, because alchemy is being able to take two different things, even events or points in time, and through the power of your consciousness and your emotion, you're able to bring them in to manifest within your timeline experience. And this really is this ability to navigate time, where you are able to manage all, because time is filled with potential events, yeah? In any, bit like we were talking about before, with any time packet, there is a unrealized amount of energy, which is the potentiality of what can happen within that packet of time, yeah? It has the potentia, as Aristotle said. So this is the limitless possibility, if you like, in some ways, of what could possibly happen. We might rate some of these things like, you know, in this next period of time, I could fall off a chair, or the, you know, a tree could fall over, or a spaceship could land on the back lawn. Now, we may give different ratings of possibility of what's more likely to occur, but these are all possibilities of events, yeah? What we can do by our desire, our consciousness, our feelings, is we can increase the possibility of them being within our experience, because we as the observer can manage the energy of these events on time and bring them in through resonance to our particular line of experience. Yeah, you get the gist of this?
Yeah.
All right. This ability, so the power of the frame of the border sense of the soul, this power to have action, is this power of the soul, in its, because remember, border senses are all about being able to govern and filter your perception for your incarnation. So the power of the soul filter, one of them, yes, was the wisdom. So this is the soul prompting, but the power is your ability to act. And so your action within your incarnation, depending on where you are in being able to tune into the dimension, then the bit that's shifting in that power is time consciousness. You are either perceiving 3D space-time or 4D time-space. And that shift of perception of time consciousness is the bit that alters your reality and your perception of the reality. We are at a very interesting time upon the Earth, where Earth is running dual frequencies. We are having both two dimensions superimposed on top of each other. We are experiencing simultaneously third dimension and fourth dimension upon the Earth. Our ability to tune in to the perceptual realities and therefore the skill sets that develop and allow us to navigate these is to do with our density, therefore the amount of light that we hold. Not only the amount of light that we hold, but the quality or frequency or vibration of the light that we hold. As this is why we talk about fourth density as being the stream of Christ consciousness, because the field that it holds is love consciousness. Why? Because as I explained before, in third density consciousness, we are at a density where we navigate polarities and then we rise into self-awareness. So we learn about ourselves from that third density. So we experience our cause and effect, and then we are able to rise above it and see ourselves within our life. We can, you know, we become what we call the watcher or the conscious observer. We can see ourselves. Mm. Now, as we sit here, we can experience ourselves. Yeah, okay, here's me sitting here. But I can actually also imagine as if I'm watching myself sitting here in the teepee. We all understand this experience, yeah? This is third density experience. We need this experience because this is how we know ourselves, yeah? Mm. To know ourselves is also to know ourselves as separate from the divine in some ways, yeah? Because otherwise, if we only experience ourselves as the everything, we don't really get to know ourselves, yeah? So that experience within third density initially takes us through separation, where it's all about me, and we become very egoic because it's all about me and fulfilling my needs, and yeah. But we grow through that as a development, as we learn more and more about ourselves, until we come to the realization of, oh, me is actually just part of everything else. And we start to get these indications of unity consciousness and realize, you know, oh my goodness, everyone else is actually just another me. Everyone else is actually divine, just like I am. I start to get these feelings of, you know, wanting to be group instead of individual. Feeling that there's more power in collective and that, you know, together we are more, and all of these kind of indications of movement of consciousness. The part of being able to join with others and do stuff with them is, of course, love, or love in its description of as connection, as warmth, as exchange or interchange, yeah? So that type of description of love, we'd call it agape love, or unconditional love. No conditions on it. It's simply, I feel the connection. It's not because you have to do something for me. It's simply because I feel it. I feel my connection. Yeah. So it's love is the glue type of connection. So this type of connection, this love consciousness, takes us into this next density of perception, because once we open our perception to fourth density consciousness, we have to be able to navigate it really through this field. What drops away, one of the big things that drop away between third density and fourth density, is judgment. Because while I am judging this as good or bad, or you as more or less than me, or this kind of thing, we are still perceiving the world from separation. Yeah, we are perceiving the world as this is me and that's all of them. Yeah, and you're a bit better than me, you're not, you know. So it is judgment that keeps you in separation. When we are able to move judgment into acceptance, understanding, where we accept that, yes, you are just another me, but you are just a different vibrational aspect of me, and that if I can actually join with you, then you and me together are actually something even better still, because I've got a bit of me and a bit of you, and we both got skills, and we put them together, and now we have one of these. And we're going, okay, who else wants to play? And we join someone else in the field, and now, wow, we look at all of these skills, because we start to unify all those things. We realize, oh, all these things actually fit together, and we can play together to make bigger of what they call the super individual, which is the individual of multiple aspects, which is like the team of consciousness or the collective consciousness. So that's why also the hallmark of fourth density is unity consciousness, because that's the shift. Yeah. So the power of this that we are in, the power of moving our perception from the third dimension to the fourth dimension, is time consciousness. The other aspect of being able to move into that time consciousness perspective is also the ability to use love consciousness. Because if you think about it, if time is a landscape covered with potential events, and the ability to manage it and therefore move events synchronically into your experience, what it requires is your ability to connect to those events using love in order to join them to you, because as they say, love is the glue. You need to find the feeling of resonance of that point, the feeling of resonance of the other point. Manufacture that feeling through your conscious will power in yourself to draw them into your field, your line of possibility. Exactly. This is law of attraction. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so instead of it being a random law of attraction, it becomes a conscious law of attraction. And that's why this field of time is not only power, but it's actually will. It's willpower. It's the conscious will. It's choosing. I choose to do it.
And I choose to. I've been told I'm calling rain.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what my next project is.
It is well known that, in fact, you know, the Indigenous have huge tradition of people who manage the weathers. Yeah,
I call in the rain, the wind.
Yes, I've had that experience before, haven't we, Jenna? Yes.
We know all about that.
We know that.
A little bit more sunshine.
Okay.
I'm not doing anything now.
Another feeling within this, so it's going, okay, what things colour this feeling of action? So I was just, you know, trying to bring description to it. In this idea of power and timelines and being able to call in events, one of the characterizations, and this is why it requires love consciousness, because it's no point if you are in the consciousness where you wanted to be a megalomaniac and, you know, try and control the world. Luckily, it doesn't work out of the vector of control, because control is third density, not fourth density. It's through alliance. So again, you align with things, and it's out of agreement that things come in. It's not like you force
it's divine,
them.
It's divine agreement, though.
It is.
It's all divine.
It is. Yeah. Because the three aspects are, is to know thyself, accept thyself, and recognize yourself as the creator amongst all things. And that in these three things, this knowledge, this acceptance, and this ability to understand the divine that is within all things, this is what allows you to play in the matrix through agreement and alliance. So it's not power over, it's the power of alliance, of things being aligned. And therefore also the other aspect in this is the surrender of the little will to the divine will, as they say. So it calls us to let go, to actually let go of control. It calls us to let go of our, someone else was, who was, it wasn't you, it was you. Yeah. It was to let go of our need to try and manage it how we think it should turn out, but more to synchronically step with it as it's showing us. So to join the flow and going, how does my soul want to experience this world? And to be guided by the wisdom of the soul with its prompting, like my desire might be, I want that car, but my soul is like, this is not your path. Your soul prompting is actually you needing to experience this, because this is how you can serve best and gain most knowledge for what is needed within the construct. So there is, it's not a total, like we have, you know, vision and desire, but again, this is where we have to have this discernment that we talked about earlier on, is this a desire of the mind? Often we can tell it's desire of the mind because it won't have as much power. And, you know, it's a bit like, you know, we see that dress as we go past the shop and go, oh, that's lovely. And if we don't act on it, you know, we've forgotten about the dress, you know, a week later, because it was a desire of the moment, a desire of the mind. We have heart desires, which have more potency and information, and therefore we tend to hold on to them longer. But even then, they can be different in when compared to soul desire. Because soul desire has a feeling to it that is very much more to do with, like, it feels like the purpose of our life. And when it's satisfied, it brings a sense of fulfillment. Whereas sometimes there are things that can be your heart's desire that when you get it, it's like, well, what next? You know, I've got my heart's desire, but now I feel it hasn't satisfied me. You know, because sometimes people in their desire for, you know, that flash house or that ultimate job or career or whatever, that could be their heart's desire and they pursue it. And then they get there and it doesn't necessarily bring the sense of fulfillment that they thought it would. They're still then, it's like, oh, now I've got to chase something else. So the difference between heart's desire and soul desire usually is characterized by this sense of when you've reached soul desire, there's a sense of absolutely I'm walking what I'm meant to do in my life. I can feel it. It is just so strong in me. It's guiding me. It's flowing me. I just have to go this way. I feel like I have no choice because I'm allowing that part to guide my life. So in this, so it has this sense within it. The other thing that is an aspect of the feeling within this is belief, because another thing in being able to bring those two points from the time landscape into your experience is you absolutely believe it will be so. If there is any doubt, there is no joining. Belief, trust, totally being in that zone, and I'm sure you will have all experienced it. You know, some days there is just a magic to it. There's a flow where you just feel no matter what you think of, you're going to create. you know, nothing feels...
Expect a miracle.
Exactly. You just have days where you go, everything is possible. Whatever I desire is going to be there, because you're just so in the flow. And it's not from an ego. It's actually from a sense of almost humility that you are just with it and in it, and you're just feeling that joy of really the, like, divine working your life for you. And there's this feeling that is within it, which is just absolute seamless belief. And again, this is that the feeling that brings that possibility of being the time alchemist. Another expression of this magic of time, that I've done it in small, where, you know, you're running late and so you just don't look at the clock, you just imagine you're going to get there at the perfect moment, and somehow you manage to stretch time and or contract time. And I was listening to a guy, it was on an older show of Cosmic Disclosure, but he was a real master of this, and he was being interviewed. And he was saying that, yes, he'd worked through this thing of being able to move time, because the host who was interviewing was saying, oh, yeah, I can do this whenever I'm running late, you know, a bit like I just said then. But he's going, this other guy, he'd worked it a lot bigger. And, like, he was talking about how, you know, he'd done this journey, which normally would take 8 hours, and he'd brought it down and it only took him 5 hours. And, you know, he's questioning, okay, what are the techniques that you do? What do you bring? And he says, I take the point of my consciousness and I take it to the destination. And he says, what essentially I'm doing is I'm putting more weight of consciousness on the point where I wish to be in the time landscape. And I allow the weight of my consciousness to pull my physicality towards it. He says, what it requires is absolute belief that it will be so. And then an ability to surrender and allow it to be so. And he says, it works seamlessly every time. And he said, I tried this. I was explaining this to a friend who had to drive somewhere, and she's going, oh, you know, I couldn't possibly do that. You know, you're just obviously some kind of got weird faculties or whatever. And he said, look, I'm going to come with you. It was a 3-hour drive. Normally she would have to stop halfway to fill up her tank and to get to her destination. And so here was a passenger with her. And he said, so the beginning, they imagined their destination. They just focused on it and perceived that's where they wanted to be with the weight of their consciousness. They looked at no time devices, because you don't want to bring yourself back into the time matrix. Said that they arrived there in an hour and a half and they didn't have to fill up the car. So he said, very interesting. Again, it was putting the weight of your consciousness at a place within the time landscape and allowing it to pull the physicality into that place, which I thought was a very cool way to describe it. But that was, again, another experience or expression of navigating our reality through time. So it's a field that's hard to give description to in some ways, but I'm hoping that in the description you can feel it, or you can feel when you've had an expression of it in some way. In the simplest matter, it can just simply be that your belief in the belief is so strong that there's just simply no resistance to the things that then get drawn in or manifested to it. Is another way of looking at it.
Awesome. You just described exactly how I manifested in Asia for 8 years, dreaming it, knowing, believing, and I actually didn't even realize, because it was just like a little escape from reality.